That shows that we're now on the record. This is the time and place set for a commission meeting of the State Tax Commission. It is about 9:06. It is October 8th, 2015. Commission hearing is occurring in room 1025 of the Tax Commission offices. Participating today are myself, Chairman John Valentine, Commissioner Michael Cragen, Commissioner Robert Perrow, and Commissioner Rebecca Rockwell. Also present is Barry Conover, our Executive Director. The first item on our agenda today is a public comment period for individuals or groups wishing to address the commissioners for up to 3 minutes on matters not related to a pending or recently imminent appeal to the Tax Commission. Do I have anyone here that is wanting to do that today? Seeing none, I'll move on to the second item on the agenda. This will be the approval of our minutes of our August 27th, 2015. This is an action item, so if I could have a motion.
Move to approve the minutes.
Motion is to approve the minutes of our August 27th, 2015 meeting. Any debate on the motion? Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Rule it passes unanimously. The minutes are approved. The next item on our agenda is approval of submission of a proposed rule amendment to the Division of Administrative Rules for publication in the Utah Register. This will be an action item. I'll now turn to Commissioner Rockwell to make an explanation.
Thank you. We're considering Rule 884, 24P53, 2016 Valuation Guides for Valuation of Land, subject to the Farmland Assessment Act, pursuant to Utah Code Section 592.515. This amendment annually updates the agricultural productive values to be applied by county assessors to land qualifying for valuation and assessment under the Farmland Assessment Act. The values are recommended to the Commission by the State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee, which meets under the authority of Section 592.514. Sections 592.515 authorizes the State Tax Commission to make rules regarding the Property Tax Act in Part 5, the Farmland Assessment Act. Section 592.514 authorizes the State Tax Commission to receive valuation recommendations from the State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee for implementation as outlined in Rule 884, 24P53. The rule sets the per-acre values for 418 separate class county combinations. This year, it is proposed that 126 rates decrease slightly, 164 increase slightly, and 128 have no change.
I recognize Commissioner Perro to talk about the State Farmland Advisory Committee, Valuation Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As chair of the State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee, the committee met on Tuesday, September 29, 2015, to consider the farmland evaluation report prepared by Utah State University. The report analyzes the several classifications of land in agricultural use in the various areas of the state and recommends values based upon productive capabilities of the land when devoted to agricultural use. The values in the report are summarized according to six land uses. They are irrigated cropland, orchard cropland, meadow cropland, dry cropland, grazing land, and non-productive land. To derive the values for each land use, Utah State University looked at changing crop prices, changing costs, crop yields or productivity, and crop mixes. The State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee voted unanimously to recommend the values in the Utah State University report for 2015 to the Tax Commission. These values are in the updated R884-24P-53 now before the Commission.
Thank you, Commissioner Perrow. Commissioner Rockwell.
If the rule is approved for submission to the Department of Administrative Rules, the rule will be posted in the November 1, 2015 bulletin. The 30-day public comment period will end on December 1, 2015. The earliest date for the amendments to become effective is December 8, 2015. Now I'd like to make a motion.
I recognize you for that motion.
Thank you. I move to approve submission of Rule 884, 24P53, 2016 valuation guides for valuation of land subject to the Farmland Assessment Act, which contains the values recommended by the State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee to the Division of Administrative Rules.
Motion is to approve the submission to the Division of Administrative Rules for publication. Debate on the motion. I see no debate. I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Rule it passes unanimously. Next item on our agenda is the Executive Director. And I recognize our Executive Director, Barry Conover.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's already on. I appreciate being here with you this morning and participating in this discussion. I just have a couple of things I want to update you on as the agency is moving forward. First of all, we are rolling out our new telephone system. It's a VoIP system. I think that will please Commissioner Perot about coming into the 21st century. We have had the wiring all completed. We now have the handsets being installed. We have moved all the handsets installations on the second floor, migrating to the third floor. And the fourth floor will be handled next week, I believe, or the week after, so that we'll have handsets available. Training. We have several different groups of training. We have one group for what we call INAN training. This is for our call centers. And that's already been put in place. They're training the trainers right now, and everything's on schedule with that. We also have what we call Cisco training. This is the hardware itself, the phones themselves. And we will be going through the agency and setting up training sessions for each one of the groups so that they can understand how to use their new telephone. We also will have what we call computer-based training, CBTs, available for staff to refresh themselves. And I think that we have done an excellent job in rolling out this telephonic process. And I want to thank Scott Smith, our deputy director, for his follow-up and working with this project and bringing this up on time. Our cutover time will be October the 24th, 23rd and 24th. And so in the meantime, the folks will have two phones on their desks. They'll have the one that will be able to call out, which is the old analog phone. They will be able to practice by calling inside the building with their new VoIP phone. And the VoIP phone will also connect to your PC, so that will be our connection, and it's working very well. A lot of learning curve on some of our call centers. They're going to be doing things completely different, and I think that'll be a great asset to the agency and to the public. Any questions on the VoIP? Okay.
See none.
This month, we've identified as an agency as Security Month, Cybersecurity Month. Our cybersecurity group, under the direction of Bobette Phillips, has put together a newsletter that went out this week. We'll be putting out a survey next week. We'll be having brown bags. We want to emphasize the importance of security, not just cybersecurity, but we also want to talk about paper and workspace and all of that. And I want to give credit and kudos to Bobette and her staff in bringing this up to our attention. And we'll continue to have this newsletter come out on a monthly basis for our employees to understand the importance of security for their own personal well-being, as well as the citizens of the state of Utah. There is still, as we all know, way too many hacks, too many intrusions coming in to all environments around the world, and particularly in the United States. And we want to be on top of that as best we can. We also are wrapping up our security assessment by Deloitte & Touche, a statewide assessment there. We'll be making a presentation as a security council. I chair that particular council to the governor's cabinet in November, and we'll be also making a presentation to both the Speaker and the President of the Senate, giving them a result of that particular security assessment. But I wanted you folks to be aware of that, so that you know that we are taking security seriously, and we'll be changing the way we do business. PCI, which is our credit card payments, we're going to have to be doing some things differently there, and we're getting new equipment there to meet the new standards that are rolling out on the 15th of this month. And we'll have that ready to go by the end of the year, in December, and we're on top of that as well. So just wanted to give that update. Any questions?
I'll make one quick comment. I notice also that our new security detail seems to be much more robust than it was before, too.
That's correct.
So the physical presence here in the complex seems to be much more professional than the prior service was.
You know, and we've had a change of service providers for the physical security over the last. We changed them in the end of September, and we've put together protocols that they have to use and follow, and we audit against those protocols daily. Our physical facilities coordinator, Tiffany Harms Jensen, oversees that and makes sure that we have that coverage. It's important. Our employees need to feel safe. Our taxpayers that visit us need to feel safe. And I think we've made great strides in that regard as well.
Thank you very much. Let's now go to commissioners' reports. Anybody, any of the commissioners have any specific items they'd like to report on? Yes, Commissioner Cragen.
Just note that we will have a recognition luncheon today to recognize the folks who have earned service milestone awards, and recognizing those who received their 10, 20, 30, do you have any 40s this year? And 40-year accomplishments, and that will happen today with all of the commissioners. The second thing I'd like to do is just, on the record, compliment the Property Tax Division for the presentations they've made in the three-day hearing that we participated in earlier this week.
Thank you, Commissioner Cragen. Anything else from any of the other commissioners?
I have nothing.
I have one quick item on the report, and that is that we have installed LexisNexis in both the Appeals Division and in certain other areas within the Tax Commission to get access to cases, treatises, and other information regarding tax matters as they're affecting our cases. We find that it's becoming more and more sophisticated in the presentations, as indicated by Commissioner Cragen, both in terms of taxpayer presentations and in division presentations. We feel like this tool is essential so that we could actually sort of keep up with the level of sophistication that's coming before us. We have 9 professional licenses and 27 support licenses that we've signed throughout the commission. We are in the period of a test of this particular system to see how it works. I personally have had significant experience with the LexisNexis system, having used it in private practice before I came to the commission. Commissioner Rockwell may want to make a comment on this particular issue as well.
Absolutely. Just in the last week since I've started using LexisNexis here, I've had opportunities to provide information directly to the legislative branch. It's helped in the preparation of legislation as we've assisted the legislative branch. It has also been useful in analyzing decisions that are before the commission, and has given me the information that I need to communicate with our ALJs on changing some of the language in decisions. So I think that it is going to be very beneficial to us in moving forward with our work.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anyone else wish to comment on this subject? Seeing none, I'll just do a wrap-up then on this particular item, and that is that I've also been using it during this trial period for a couple of cases that are before us directly right now. One case is on remand from the Supreme Court, and it's helping us be able to understand what other states are doing with similar situations. We find very similar kinds of treatments among the various different states, and it helps us to be able to recognize the legal jurisprudence that's occurring outside of our own jurisdictions. It's also helping as I look through cases in our own jurisdiction because it's a much more robust search model than we've had to this point. That's my report on the LexisNexis. Any other reports from commissioners on items? Seeing none, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Move that we adjourn.
Motion is to adjourn. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Rule it passes unanimously. We are adjourned.